The 115th Congress is coming out fast from the starting blocks. Plans for this week include no less than 9 hearings on nominations for the Trump administration, in addition to repealing the Affordable Care Act. It's already passed some bills changing life for federal employees. Joining me with the latest, Roll Call Senior Editor David Hawkins. And David, this is a pretty, I guess maybe not unprecedented, but it seems unusual for Congress to be this so agitated this early.
That's a great word, agitated. Some years they come out of the starting gate super fast, and some years they don't. Either way, it usually reaches a sort of a mid-range equilibrium soon enough. But this particular week does seem relatively crazy in no small measure because yes, there's legislation happening. There are these 9 confirmation hearings happening. The president-elect is supposed to have his first news conference since the election on Wednesday when I think 5 of these confirmation hearings are happening. So, yes, there's going to be a so-called voterama in the Senate where some senators may be having to borrow cots from the Senate sergeant-at-arms to stay up all night. So, yes, it's going to be a particularly crazy week.
Just to clarify, the confirmation hearings take place within those jurisdictional committees. But the votes are only on the full floor once voted out by committee?
That's right. So it's a 2-step process for every nominee. It's actually a 3-step process. There's a hearing where the nominee testifies and where some people from the outside world occasionally will be called in to testify on behalf of the nominee or against the nominee. Then the committee votes. Then those recommendations go to the full Senate and the full Senate votes. Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, it says he is optimistic that 7 cabinet secretaries can get confirmed on Inauguration Day. Chuck Schumer, the new Democratic leader, says not so fast.
And I guess some of the Democrats were complaining not so much about the nominees, but about the fact that they can't be in 2 places at once even to attend the hearings.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're complaining for a whole bunch of reasons. They are complaining that in their view, Mr. McConnell is moving unduly quickly to push these confirmations along. You know, it's not so much that Mr. Trump hasn't taken office yet. That happens all the time, that the cabinet confirmation process gets started in the weeks before Inauguration Day. But the Democrats say that the ethics office and others are very concerned that all the questionnaires about potential conflicts of interest haven't been completed, that the usual due diligence that the Senate committees are supposed to undertake isn't being followed. Mr. McConnell says we're not doing anything untoward here. Now, to be fair, 8 years ago when the shoes were on the other foot, when it was a new Democratic administration, it was McConnell himself who wrote to Harry Reid, then the Democratic leader, and said, "You guys are moving too fast. You're not doing due diligence. Please slow it down." So it's a classic case of how you view the world is where you sit politically.
And there seems to be a lot of emphasis on federal employment issues. There's a cutting defense civilians. There's a bill for that. There's retirement benefits. There's a bill for that. Agency-wide cuts, you know, this Holman amendment to the House rules. Holman rule, I should say, voted in the House. That seems to be something unusual also.
You know, that has somewhat surprised me that this is a first out of the box emphasis of the Republicans, that they do seem to be, you know, there are plenty of Republicans. It's probably a working majority of the congressional Republicans. You know, they feel genuinely that the federal government is too big, and the personnel aspects of that are a key part of their frustration. They think that federal workers sort of have too much power in the marketplace, get too many benefits. So sort of picking on the federal worker is relatively easy to do politically if you live outside the D.C. area, and so that's what they're doing.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor of Roll Call. And the big thing on the plate, I guess, by government-wide standards, is the debate upcoming about the Affordable Care Act. And so when does that get underway in a big way, and how long will that likely take?
Well, this is the week where the first big step is going to happen, and it is a multi-part process. The Affordable Care Act, it actually took 2 different laws to create the Affordable Care Act. back in 2010, and it's going to take at least two laws to repeal it and replace it. The first thing that needs to happen to follow the Republican playbook is that the Congress needs to adopt a budget resolution. They never adopted one last year. As every federal employee knows, we're in the middle of a fiscal year, so there's still time for the Republicans to adopt a congressional budget resolution. The reason that is important is that it allows for the creation of a so-called reconciliation bill. This is the special bill that has to do with budget and federal spending that can get through without a filibuster. That is the way the Republicans want to tackle the partial repealing of Obamacare. But in order to do that, they got to do a budget. Now, what that means, in order to get that done, is that the special rules for budgets allow essentially anybody to offer an amendment. It's not binding, but it is politically potent. So there will be plenty of amendments, dozens of amendments, we expect from both Republicans and Democrats to make all manner of fiscal points, if not fiscal policy. These amendments all get a vote. There's a time limit. It creates what's known in the Senate as a votorama, which will happen, we think, on Wednesday night and into Thursday morning. And as I said a few minutes ago, you know, members will be sleeping in comfortable chairs or actually borrowing cots from the sergeant at arms so that they can stay up all night or stay close to the floor all night. In the end, as I say, these are political points, not policy points. The real meaning of this budget resolution is to pave the way for the next step, which is the repealing of Obamacare. And then after that, there is growing dissonance within the Republican ranks about whether it makes sense politically or as a matter of policy to repeal the thing without being ready to replace it right away.
And of course, none of this would take place in terms of a bill to the president until the president itself changes. And so that means the week after, next week, would be when.
That's right. But a budget resolution does not actually go to the president. Budget resolution is an entirely congressional document. And so no bill is going to be going to the president at least before the inauguration. And then that's when they think that they will have this repeal bill ready. But as I say, with each passing day, there are more and more Republicans who say, or at least give voice to the notion that maybe we shouldn't just repeal it and then leave the public, wondering about our responsibility to replace it in a timely way. So there might be some slow walking of this two-step process by the time Mr. Trump takes the oath of office.
And so that would mean that the budget resolution would still take place, or it just wouldn't have that provision in it?
No, the budget resolution would take place. It creates the permission to pass this bill without a filibuster, but Congress would have essentially until the end of the year to act on that bill. It's not an automatic. It just essentially changes the rules, creates a little bit of a parliamentary window for this one thing to happen later in the year.
David Hawkins, the senior editor of Roll Call, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
You can find more legislative coverage and a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.